Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. We have a fascinating program for our listeners today. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, we have a, you know, we sometimes do some off-the-wall subjects that pertain to only a segment of our listeners. But the subject today is going to impact every single one of them. Now, that's a refreshing change, isn't it?
Right.
I like it when we have material that everybody's going to have an interest in. We can all learn something new. I know I did, just studying all the backup material that's possible. And it's how to be a success. How to be a successful in all kinds of business adventures. And let's face it, we all have a job that involves sales of some sort. Unless you will work all alone building mousetraps where you have no interface with anybody else on earth, you're in sales. Jesus knew that he did not have to close every sale to be a success. That's very clear through the Bibles and through the scriptures. No, it simply means ask again. That's what you want to think of when you're in sales. Hey, stop for a moment. Review your past experiences. You encountered rejection when you were a child. Some of your schoolmates may not have liked you, but you made it anyway, didn't you? Rejection is not fatal. It is merely someone's opinion. Jesus experienced more rejection than any human being who ever lived on earth. He was born in a stable. He was born as an outcast in society. Even today, television shows, they belittle him and they belittle those who follow him. The name of Jesus is used daily as a curse word by millions. His own people rejected him. He came into his own, and in his own received him not. John chapter 1, verse 11. But did he quit? When Judas betrayed him, did he allow him to become demoralized? Oh, no. No, Jesus knew that he did not have to close every sale to be a success. He went on to the others. The others who discerned his value. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God, even to them that believed in his name. John chapter 1, verse 12. He knew his worth. He knew his product. He knew that critics die, but his plan was eternal. Jesus was willing to experience a season of pain to create an eternity of gain. Some things last forever. Your goals and dreams are one of those. It's up to you. Move beyond your scars. Not everyone will celebrate you. Not everyone will welcome your future. Someone needs what you have. Your contribution is an absolute necessity for their success. Discern it. Pharisees rejected Jesus. The religious sect called the Sadducees rejected him. Religious leaders despised Christ. Those who should have recognized his worth, they wanted to destroy him. Jesus risked rejection to become the golden link between man and God. Think of it this way. Babe Ruth was famous for many years as the home run king of baseball history. We all know that, right? Many people have never realized that he had more strikeouts than any other batter also. They have not remembered his losses at bat. They merely remembered his success. He was willing to risk a strikeout to hit that home run ball. Most great salesmen say that knowing that 14 out of 15 people will say no merely inspires them to hurry up and make their presentations to as many people as possible to reach that one that they will accept. You see, Jesus taught his disciples how to handle rejection. Catch this from Matthew. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. That's one of my wife's favorite scripture verses. She likes that. She says when she meets a hard spot or a rough person to deal with, she says, I just shake the dust off of my shoes and keep going. I like that. So climb off of your recliner and make that telephone call. Write that letter. Sooner or later, you will succeed. Jesus knew that. What do you think, David? You have any thought process on success and the spirit of ambition of accepting a failure now and then before, so you can keep moving? Any thoughts on that?
Well, when I was in Bible college, I was just so excited about doing anything I could to learn how to be a preacher, a singer. I wanted to be able to be on the platform. And you know what happens to me now? When we finish this broadcast and I'm on my way home, I say to myself, I wonder how many people listen to us today.
Yeah.
1,000, 2,000, 20,000, who knows? Nobody can tell me that.
That's right.
A lot of times when we'd go to a church, and after we'd sung and I'd preached and we got back in our bus, I'd say, I wonder how many people really wanted to come to the altar but were afraid.
Yeah. That's right.
You never really know. And this week, this last Sunday, a peculiar thing happened to us in our home, Judy and I. We invited our small group to come to our house. 6 o'clock, they all walked in. We were having a great night. We had 2 hours. We ate what they brought to eat, and they brought a ton of food. We all had up to our ears with food, and then we had our song service. We sang a lot of hymns, the old hymns again. That was fun. And then we had a speaker. The speaker was an old friend of mine. It goes way back to 1954 when I went to school. He was there, too. It's been all those years, and I still know who he is. He still lives here, and we play golf together, and he goes to one church and I go to another. But I asked him the other day when we were playing golf, hey, when are you going to come and do my small group? We'd like to hear from you. I haven't heard from you myself. You know, you teach a Sunday school class for 40 years in the church, and you do all this stuff for the Lord. And he said, man, I would love to come to your home and to speak. Well, he got up. He's a good-looking guy. He's older than me a couple of years, so he might like be 83, 84. He began to talk. And I watched 30-some people mesmerized by this guy who come and, wow. And there was a time in the service when Judy, my wife, interrupted like she usually does. She loves to interrupt a service. She got up and she said, can I talk for a minute, Dick? And he said, yeah. She said, I know you too, because I was in school with Dave, and that's where you came to school. So there were three of us. We're here in this room. After 1954 is a lot of time.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, Dick, you probably don't know this, but when I was looking for a school to go to, I'm from Fresno, California. She said, I didn't want to travel all the way back east to go to school. She said, but it was a night when a quartet came to our church. And they sang. And she sat there and she said, they're from a school in Missouri. And she said to herself, those guys are so good looking, all of them. Look at them. Why should I go to school out here and not know who I'm going to see? These guys are traveling for the school. They're telling me that I should come to Springfield, Missouri. She said, I said, that's right. Look at them. And here was one of them, was the guy that was speaking, Dick Malone. She said, Dick Malone, I came to CBC. And I met Dave Colonin. And we got married. We've been 59 years married. And you live in our town, and we're now three of us here tonight. We've been together a long time, probably all three. And said, I just want to thank you, Dick, because I made a choice to come and move to Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, and go to school there. And I met Dave Colonin, and we got married, and we've lived happily ever after. And she said, now that I'm meeting you tonight, I'm getting the chance in person to say thanks, Dick, for coming to my church in Fresno, California. You have made my life.
Wow.
Well, when Dick got back to the, he was interrupted, and Judy sat down, and he got back, and he said, you know what, Judy? He said, every time I think of what I'm supposed to do on earth after I got out of school, I wondered if anybody had been a part of my life. And he said, tonight, you blessed me because you said you came to our school because we came to your church and you loved what we did. And we're still friends and happy to be here tonight. You know, Dick could have preached all night that night. Yeah. There was such a feeling that was happening in our home. When everybody walked out, I said to Judy, wow, what a night we had in this house. I don't know if we have ever had a night like this where somebody had found success in living. Dick went away so happy that somebody had chosen to do what he said, come to school in Springfield. What kind of a story is that? Just happened this week.
Yeah.
You never know.
That's right.
Somebody will see us in heaven, Giff.
That's right.
And they're going to walk up to you and they're going to say, Giff Briner, were you the president of WPFG? You'll say yes. And they'll say, I am here in heaven because you, Giff, gave your testimony and reached my life. And I went back to church and I went back to serving God with my family. What a great day that's going to be.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
I would love to hear those words when I reach the...
It's going to happen. It's going to happen, Giff. It's going to happen.
I believe it. I believe it. It's very, very motivating to think that we can impact the lives of others. And that's just in the material that we just crossed through is evidence that Jesus believed that as well. He just kept on going. He didn't take any negative. Just kept on going forward. And that's the life that we have to live as well. We have to keep moving. You see, Jesus was a problem solver. That was the nature of his ministry. You were created to change somebody. That's what Dave is talking about. You're changing somebody's life. You've left an impact. And every person you meet today is trying to change their life in some way. Everyone. They desire excellence. They want financial freedom. They want their health to improve. They hate loneliness. You may not be sent to everyone, but you are definitely sent to someone. You may not be qualified to help every person you meet, but somebody needs something you possess. It may be your warmth, your love, your gifts, or a special opportunity that you can provide them. Well, Jesus understood this. He knew that he could change people for good. He possessed something that could eliminate sorrow and heartache from their life. He was a restorer. He was a repairer. Here's some scripture that cites that. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus understood the insatiable appetite for self-improvement and excellence. We all thrive for that. Jesus understood that. It's true today. It hasn't changed. There are four kinds of people in your life. Those who add to it, those who subtract from it, those who divide it, and those who multiply it. Every relationship will affect you, for good or bad. Those who do not increase you inevitably will decrease you. He that walketh with a wise man shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. You see, each relationship nurtures a strength or a weakness within each of us. We all have that exposure. Thousands of people want to change. They just don't know how to change. Every alcoholic hates his bondage, and most smokers long to quit. Drug addicts sit for hours wondering how they can break the chains of bondage. Jesus looked for people in trouble. That's why he told his disciples that he needed to go through Samaria, where he met a woman with five marriages that had failed. Remember that story? He talked. She listened. He changed her life so permanently that she went back to the city proclaiming the influence of Jesus in her life. She conquered her past by focusing on her future. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in the well of water springing up into everlasting life. John chapter 4, verse 14. I like that one. Jesus was water to the thirsty. He was bread to the hungry. He was a roadmap to the lost. He was a companion to the lonely. Stop for a moment. What are your own greatest gifts? What is the center of your expertise? Are you a good listener? A good speaker? Whatever your gift is, that is what God will use to bless others through you. Jesus had that ability to interpret dreams. Ruth took care of Naomi. Your gift may not be needed by everybody, but it is definitely needed by somebody. Who are they? What is your gift? Whose life are you capable of improving today? Whose income could you improve? Whose peace of mind could you affect? You are capable of motivating somebody. Maybe you can provide a climate, an atmosphere that unlocks that creativity in other people. People want to succeed. People want to improve. Someone has been waiting for you for a lifetime. They are worth pursuing. You are the golden thread missing in their lives. People want to change. Jesus knew that, and he was bound and determined to help them out. David, I would imagine through your ministry that when it comes to helping people change their lives for the better, you probably were able to impact them more than the average person. You have any great stories that you'd like to share that perhaps can indicate how Jesus was a problem solver and how you have followed up in his footsteps?
We had a lot of fun in life. We came back to Harrisburg, and it wasn't long until we were wanting to build a church, a good church, a new church, a big church. And we got together, and the Couriers joined a gang in Camp Hill. And there was no place to start a church except at a restaurant, which wouldn't let us do anything at night. So on Sunday morning, we go there, and then at Sunday night, Judy and I opened up our home, and we started the Christian Life Assembly in our home.
You're kidding.
We had just built a two-car garage onto our house. It was brand new, clean as a pin, so we said to the church, well, we can't go to the restaurant anymore. Come to the house. Come to the house. Let's try that. And so we, down on the 30th Street in Camp Hill, we brought more cars on that block for a Sunday night service, and our neighborhood didn't know what hit them. And to think that, we can start small.
Yeah.
The Courier Singers started small. We had like 10 and 12, 15 people for a year when we came to town. And look at CLA. What a great church
today.
That's
a huge church. It's a mega church.
Oh, it's a mega church. It's one of the finest built churches. You walk in to the foyer is bigger than any other church in town.
My, oh, my. And that's when you started that one.
And we started that
one. How about that?
It grew from just 50 people to 100, and then, down the hill, there's a Korean church.
Yeah.
That was our church for a while. We sold it to the Koreans. And that's when we moved up on the hill.
Uh-huh.
And when we built the church, $20 million church, yeah, more than that probably. But it was a beautiful church and grew. 3,000 people was nothing to go to church there and find a place to sit. And
it's still that way, I believe.
They have the greatest Christmas program in the area, in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they do. People from all denominations go to that one.
They fill the building every night for many nights during the Christmas season.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what kind of a plan you have when it doesn't work. And we went through all kinds of places to try to find a place to go to church. We did. And who would have ever dreamed that we were going to go to the Clonan's house for church. Are you kidding me? That was the furthest thing. Yeah. And boy, we brought the piano out in the garage. We put two doors on the garage, one on the front and one on the back. So we opened up the back. We had a swimming pool, and we had our water baptism there. Uh-huh. We had church.
Wow.
Just the other day, we were driving, and our daughter Robin,
yeah,
she got all excited about going that street and seeing our house, see what happened. She pulled down the street and pulled up, and there was a lady across the street from us that Robin knew, so she went up and knocked on the door and said, "Hey, I'm Robin, you remember me? It's been a long time since we lived here, many years." And she did have a little conversation. She's going across the street back to our house, almost afraid to knock on the door, and the man came out to get the mail. And Robin went right up to him and said, "Sir, I'd like to talk to you because I brought some pictures. I got a whole list of pictures of before our house was finished, putting on a two-car garage, and my family lived here, and we have a lot to talk about. I'd like to bring my whole family back and go to the house and, you know, have a visit." Well, the man, I think he was kind of frustrated at first, Robin said, but before it was over, he was so fascinated he couldn't
refuse her.
"Come on in. You got to see my wife. You know, you got to come inside. Yeah. Your story is too interesting, and to think that your family lived in our house and we are right here." It's funny how God changes our plans.
Yes.
What seems to be so small.
Yes.
You've been talking this program about Jesus was a problem solver.
Problem solver.
Boy,
If
you've ever had a problem solved, like we had a big problem.
Sure.
We needed a church.
Yep.
And we needed a place now. And pretty soon here it was. We were going to church in our garage. And today when I go to the other church, like I go up to Christmas, the plays they put on, I sit there and I just think, wow. What this came to out of so little.
Yes, yes.
No money. That's just right. Unbelievable, the thing that just grew.
Yeah.
The same thing is going to happen to this station. You guys are tuned out there. You're turned our way. Yeah. You know, 91.3. You don't know how great this radio station is going to be someday. It's going to produce thousands of miles away to let people hear the gospel. And we're growing every day. We don't have everything we need, for sure. We'd like to have our own property and our own facility, and we'd like to build this and build that. And here we're stuck in a little room to do our program today. But by faith, God is the problem solver.
Yep.
So he'll solve your problem today. What's yours today? What big problem are you facing? What do you turn to our dial for to say, what can I do with my life? I'm so far off. And then you hear Giff and I come and talk to you, yak at you about how God will solve your problem. Let him do it today for you. And God will bless you.
Thank you, my friend. You are exactly right. Jesus was in sales, and he had the right approach, and he was the problem solver. And you know something you said about Robin meeting up with that gentleman? I can picture Robin as being a super salesman. She can really talk up a storm.
Yes.
And she would make good sense. So that's a very good parallel to what Jesus is talking about. Persistence. Don't quit. There's no need to defend anything. Just be yourself and just keep doing what you have to do to get it done. I mean, that's the spirit that Jesus had too. And everybody wants to make improvements in their life. Everybody. Dave, we've exhausted our time.
Have we? Is it over?
We have to say goodbye for now. But I hope our listeners enjoyed our program today. And sometimes we're direct, sometimes we're indirect. But we made some powerful points today on life and peace and happiness and how to get the most out of your life. Jesus was persistent. Jesus was a problem solver.
Yes.
And we can do that too.
I enjoyed myself today, Giff.
Thank you, my friend.
I'm happy you invited me to be a part of what you're doing, trying to fit in.
You did it quite well. Thank you, and bye-bye for now.